If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. I want to read to you verses 7 through 10. It says this: Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Lord, I pray this morning as we get into this passage in your word, this little mini-series this morning, I pray that you would open our eyes, that you would awaken us. I ask, Lord, that you would use this time in your word this morning to draw us into your kingdom more. Draw us into relationship with you and your Son more. I pray, Lord, that you would restore people that need restoring, heal people that need healing, pour love into all of us, pour fresh courage into us. Let us see things the way that you see them. Open up our eyes, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine with me, if you will, it's your funeral. It's your funeral. And one at a time, and this is not tomorrow, so don't worry, I'm not prophesying or anything like that. It's scary. But one at a time, people come up. And let's just say that there's a large group of people there, and they one at a time come up, and they speak all kinds of things about you. What do they say? Think for a moment. What do they say? What do you want them to say? Then I think the follow-up question then says from there, how do you get to the place where they say those things? How do you get there? Those are important questions, perhaps ultimate questions to ask in terms of how we're spending our lives at this point in time. Now let me take that a step further and say that at the end of your life is the great harvest of your life. At the end, it will be the culmination of all the seeds that you have sown along the way. And at that point in time, the harvest will be there of what it is that you have sown, the seeds that you have sown with your life. If you want a great harvest of impact on others, of great joy, of a close, intimate, mature walk with Christ, of close relationships, how will you get there? What kinds of seeds do you need to sow to get there? If you want to harvest a satisfying, impacting life over the long haul and in the final analysis, you're going to need to sow consistent seeds that produce that kind of harvest at the end. But the seeds are sown along the way. Good seeds will yield good fruit. Bad seed will yield a harvest that's bad. That's the way that it works. And this is quite simply called the law of sowing and reaping. You could call it the principle of sowing and reaping, but it's stronger than a principle. It's a law, that it is the way simply that things are. And you see it all around you. And the seeds are choices. Seeds are choices. If you choose to sow the seeds of hard work over time, it yields typically a harvest of success. If you choose to sow the seeds of daily time with God, it yields over time spiritual stability, depth, and I think increased usefulness to God and His purposes. Conversely, if you choose to sow the seeds of playing loose with love, with your sexuality, it yields disaster and regret. It can yield STDs and unwanted pregnancies and deep brokenness. If you sow the seeds of hatred and anger and judgment, you reap the harvest of friendlessness and loneliness. All of us sow seed all the time. We all reap what we sow, and we're constantly sowing seeds. Our choices are those seeds sown, and they're all going to produce something. Well, over the last number of months, the Lord has been speaking to me about this, and at one point in time, I can't even remember in the Bible where I was, but I was just had my guitar out and I was just singing back to the Lord some of the truth that I was encountering in the scripture. And then I sort of stumbled upon this, and I wrote a four message series in about 5 minutes. And for those of you that know me, I work very that doesn't mean I didn't work on this for, you know, about 20 hours in getting it ready. But it was about, the series took about 5 minutes to write. And it was because the Lord was revealing something to me that I believe He wants us to know. And so we're going to take about 4 or 5 weeks and put the spotlight on this principle, this law of sowing and reaping. And this morning I want to take the time that we have together and I want to illuminate 5 different dynamics of sowing and reaping. That is, how it works. How does this whole thing work? I think that the things seem self-evident, but perhaps they aren't to most of us. And I believe all of us need the reminder. And the reason why I would be speaking that to you is in order for us to, for one, settle into the process of sowing the good seed. And two, some of us are going to need to make some serious course corrections in terms of what we're doing and how we're sowing. So those two things, settle into the process and make serious course corrections. Now, I think that this principle is self-evident and simple, but as I went through this and looked at this myself, I realized that most of these things we tend to ignore to our own peril. The book of Galatians was written to a group of churches in this area called Galatia, which is for us modern-day Turkey. Those churches are composed primarily of non-Jewish people, and this is one of the first documents of the New Testament, but the church has got Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers living together. And there's a group of Jewish believers that are coming in and infecting the Gentile or non-Jewish believers by saying, you know, we're really glad that you received Christ. I mean, that's awesome. But if you want to be a real Christian, a real spiritual Christian, then you need to add the Jewish laws to that. You need to celebrate the Jewish festivals. You need to get circumcised, which is a high price tag for a Gentile. And they're saying you need to sort of add all of this old covenant stuff in. And Paul goes to great lengths. He's very agitated having to write this because the errors in these things are you either get rule-keeping religion or you get life in the Spirit that Christ gives you as a gift. It's one of those two. It's not rule-keeping with Christ. It's not that. No, instead he says, no, this is all about living the life that God has given you as a gift through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are those things that, you know, come out of the life that is cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And so that's where Paul goes with this. He's quite stout in his arguments for this. And as he's wrapping up this letter here in chapter 6, he gets increasingly practical. He says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man or a person reaps what they sow. Would you say that with me? Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, there are 3 truths that are captured in this sentence that are, I think, pretty potent. Firstly, this: whenever Scripture says don't be deceived or misled, it means that we are prone to deception in that particular arena. So when it says that, there's always something about us that we lean toward not seeing this correctly. And I think this one is true, that we're prone to think that it doesn't work like this with us. We simply don't see it. We're short-sighted, and we don't count the cost. Therefore, we sow bad seed thinking that somehow this won't apply to us, but it does. We're prone to deception in that. Secondly, it says that God cannot be mocked. Well, in this particular term in the Greek literally means to turn up your nose and show contempt to God. Somehow we've outwitted Him, that we're immune to this, that somehow we get away with it. That we get away with sowing the bad seed and not necessarily having to deal with the consequences. But what Paul is saying to us is that you can't ignore God and His ways without consequence. You simply can't. Now, I want to say this as well, within the context of what we're talking about this morning, that if you're not a Christian and you're in here today, you're in the right place. But I also want to tell you that this applies to you, this applies to believers and non-believers alike. No one gets away with this. No one does. We all reap what we sow. And that's the last one. He said that this is an undeniable truth. Whatever you plant will produce that particular crop. It's a divine principle. It's a universal principle. It's certain to take place. Unavoidable, irrevocable. It will not change. What you plant is what you will harvest. And so I want to take a moment and look at five dynamics of sowing and reaping. The first one is this. No seeds sown, no harvest. No seeds sown, no harvest. In chapter and verse 9 of this same chapter, up at the proper time, Paul says, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. No seed sown, no harvest. Now, much of the Bible is written in this sort of agrarian context. People farmed. And anyone who farmed knew that if they wanted a harvest for food or for trade or for livelihood, that you had to plant. That if you don't plant, you have nothing to harvest at harvest time. There's a Roman proverb by a philosopher named Seneca that says, even after a bad harvest, there must be sowing. So, if you want something good, something significant, something positive to grow, you must plant for it. You must plant for it. And so I think that in our culture, we're sort of stuck in this sort of fast food idea. Fast food, instant gratification, immediate gratification, that we're used to being able to go. And I remember when microwave ovens first came out, you know, and we're like, wow, this is going to save us all kinds of time. But now what do? We sit in front of the microwave oven and go, God, this is so slow. Right? And the microwave ovens were going to save all of our problems, but they didn't. It didn't fix anything. But in the spiritual life, I think we have this sort of quick fix mentality. We think that will do the trick. That we fast from God Monday through Saturday, and then you come to church thinking that the bald guy or whoever is up here, the Australian guy, is going to all of a sudden be able to give you the quick fix, and then you can go out and fast for another 6 days in a life with God. And that's how it works. That you come here, you get a spiritual buzz. The worship music was, oh, just right. And you had the antenna up in just the right way, and you felt those feelings. And then you left, and you're like, oh, I got my buzz. Now I'm good. No, you didn't get it. Yeah, you felt good. I'm glad that you feel good. I want you to feel good. I want you to connect with God. But if you connect with God once a week, a healthy spiritual life does not make. Ever. 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 No, there's no quick fix in this. If you don't sow good spiritual seed into your own life, you will not reap sustained good spiritual fruit. It works that way, and it always has worked that way. Therefore, we have saints that never had cell phones that grew to maturity in Christ for 2,000 years. Why? Why did they grow to maturity? Did they have all these Bible translations like we did? Did they have all these apparatus that were at their disposal? No, they simply planted the good seed and it grew up to maturity over time. This is something that I think escapes us, but it is true. No seeds sown, no harvest. Back in Boston, our church went from 300 to 600 in almost all brand new baby converts, people coming to Christ. And what we had done to get that was we prayed. We walked around the neighborhoods and we sowed the good seed. We called out to God for them. We, with our tears, sowed the good seed of prayer. And then as we started making invitations for people to come to church, we found, lo and behold, in an area that had been dead for 200 years, we found life. Why? Because we sowed the seed. That's one of the principles behind our Lighthouse mini church idea, is that we're going to sow the seeds a quarter mile around a host household. We're going to continue to sow those seeds because no seed sown, no harvest. Seed sown, harvest. And I don't know about you, but I want to reap a harvest for the kingdom of God. That's what God has destined us for. We're going to do it. But do you see what I'm saying? No seed sown, no harvest. That's the first thing. The second principle here is that seeds produce after their own kind. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God said, every seed will produce more of its own kind of fruit. I found this quote from a director, the director of the movie Bruce Almighty. His name is Tom Shadyac, I think is how you say it. He said, you can't sow an apple seed and expect to get an avocado tree. The consequences of your life are sown in what you do and how you behave. And so, taking this a little bit further, it's interesting that we use that term for some people, that they sowed their wild oats of drugs, sex, and country music. We're going to leave rock and roll alone here, okay? I'm a guitar player. Give me a break. But what's interesting is that I have met so many people who in the 60s and in the 70s, when they were doing hallucinogenic drugs and all these different kind of things, that a lot of those people have less than total brain capacity as a result. And we want to laugh about that. It's like, wow, that dude's like really spaced out. But you know what? The drugs did it, and it's unrecoverable. And that's a sober thought, isn't it? That you can do something that's consequences are irrevocable, that you cannot change it. You reap what you sow. Simply enough, you won't get bananas if you plant wheat. As much as you click your heels and want to say, there's no place like home, I want bananas and I planted wheat. No, wheat produces wheat. Wheat seed produces wheat. Banana seeds produce bananas. And it's always been that way. And so if you want the good seed, you're going to have to sow the good seed. You can't sow bad seed and get good fruit. And you can't sow good seed and get bad fruit. It just works like that. I have found so many people that are thinking they can sow the seeds of sex and reap the harvest of love. But the seeds of sex do not produce a harvest of love. Ladies, I want to tell you this, that I'm a guy, I know how guys think. Especially those of you young ladies. And the reality is that guys are driven visually. And as much as you might want love from someone, that isn't necessarily what they want from you. And as a dad, I have to say that to you. Don't give in. Don't give the prize away. Don't. Don't do it. You can't sow the seeds of sex and yield a harvest of love. I've seen so many movies out there that basically say that people are looking for love and settling for sex. It's not the same thing. Sex is really, really, really good. I mean it. In the context of marriage between a man and a woman. That's how God designed it. It's really good. In the context that God designed it. You can't sow those seeds and not pay a price. In the same way, actually on the other side of the fence, if you sow small, consistent seeds of kindness in your marriage, it's going to yield a great crop of love and tenderness and intimacy. But you are receiving right now the just crop of what you have sown. The writer of Proverbs, both at the end, I don't think it's Solomon toward the end there, but at the beginning it says this, one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward, but whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. And so this idea that every seed begets after its own kind, it produces fruit after its own kind, I think we have to come to grips with that you can't get away from this. If you want to see mercy crop up in your life later, you must sow mercy now. That's what Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will have mercy shown to them. So if you want mercy to grow up and you want to be shown mercy when you goof up, which you will, then you need to start being merciful to people now. We reap what we sow. So no seed sown, no harvest. Secondly, seeds produce after their own kind. And third, seeds do not produce fruit immediately. It takes time. In Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said it this way. He said, patience is necessary. If one cannot reap immediately where one has sown. And I think in this particular case, we are very prone to deception. We really like the idea of Jack and the Beanstalk. You get the magic bean, and you plant it in back of your house, and you go to bed. And then you wake up the next morning and, whoa, look at that. Incredible thing. You know, it's just, how did that happen? It grew up so much bigger. It doesn't work like that. I grew up watching Walt Disney on Sunday nights, every Sunday night. How many of you did that when you were growing up? I see that hand. God bless you. And we watched Walt Disney, and I thought it was so fascinating, the flowers with the sped up photography, and the flowers just kind of, you know, here's a rose, and, you know, and it looks better than the human version. It looks better on the thing, but the flowers just explode because it shows this growth process that takes a long time. It shows in a short instant. And I think that's the kind of mentality that we have with the spiritual life. But it doesn't work that way. You plant a seed, and the seed takes time for it to grow up. And it always has. The winter wheat crops in Kansas are sown in September and October and harvested in June. And in between those times of September and October and June is all of this growth. If you try to harvest too early, you get nothing. You get a worthless crop. No, everything takes time. And so let's just take this example a little bit further. Let's just say you're down in life right now. You've gone through a breakup or a divorce, or you're jobless, or you've gone through a foreclosure, some kind of major loss. And if you want to experience joy and peace and rest and satisfaction in the fall, you need to start sowing those seeds right now. This is a mysterious thing, but I spend every single day time in God's Word, and in order to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit so that I'm sowing seeds that next fall will be actually coming to fruition. And again, this is not the way that we're used to thinking, but if you're in a place where you're down right now, start sowing the good seed because it eventually will reap a harvest. And it's hard to hear sometimes when you're in a place where you're playing handball against the curb. You're that low. You know, you just think, I'm just so low. I mean, Bob, you don't understand. I can't spend any meaningful time with the Lord. It's like, yes, you can. Start sowing the seed. And that seed will eventually grow up and yield a crop. It's the way that the spiritual life works. It is. I get up every morning and I spend time with the Lord, not having anything to do with what I give to you, because I have to have my own walk with Christ. And I get up every day and spend time with the Lord. Sometimes I read the comics first, but then I get, you know, time with the Lord. I have to get Spider-Man. I just love Spider-Man. And I know that what I'm doing right now has benefit during my day. But I'm about something more than my day. I'm about being a person who's fruitful in season and out of season. I want to be in the middle of the winter and still be producing fruit. I want to be like the Zanin's lemon tree. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Tim and Izzy Zanin's house. They have a lemon tree in the backyard. It just produces lemons all the time. It doesn't know how not to. And so they just usually have a giant basket of lemons for anybody to take as many as they want, because this tree just continues to produce. I want to, even though this doesn't fit my analogy very well, I want to be that way in my life. And so I have got to continue to sow. That's not a pastor thing. It's a Christian thing. I want to call you to it. I want to ask you. I don't care how old you are. I want to ask you to start sowing the good seed now and see what God will do over time. But fruit never comes immediately. Let me change this analogy a little bit and say, if I want joy in the pipeline in the fall, I've got to do things that get it there now. And so I want to ask you to start sowing the good spiritual seed in your own life and in the lives of others. For those of you in a marriage situation where there's not a lot of intimacy, that isn't going to all of a sudden change. No, you sow the seed of humility and kindness, and you sow more seeds of humility and kindness and reconciliation, humility, kindness, reconciliation, humility, kindness, reconciliation. Remember that, I'm sorry, I was wrong, would you please forgive me? That kind of thing. Those are seeds, and they don't immediately yield a beanstalk, But what they do over time is they create the right kind of atmosphere for intimacy to take place. If you want something different in your marriage, you're going to need to start changing the formula, sow different seeds. Amen? Because seeds don't produce fruit immediately, they take time. No seeds, no harvest. Seeds produce after their own kind. Seeds do not produce fruit immediately. And fourthly, seeds are an investment in future fruit and more fruit. Listen to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. In Genesis 26, it says, "And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him." You reap much more than you sow. It's part of the principle of this, that one seed yields hundreds to thousands of its own kind. Using Ben's 65-cent word from last week, that's a multiplicity effect of sowing. We lived in Charlotte, North Carolina when I was growing up, and we had a detached garage in our backyard. And one year, my parents decided to take us out and show us some good farming stuff that we were going to plant tomato plants. And so along the side of the garage, we planted 10 tomato plants, seeds. And, you know, we planted them, and then I came out the next day, nothing. And then came out the next day, nothing. And then eventually they started to break through the ground. And then eventually a small sort of stalk started, and then they started wrapping them around these little pieces of wood, sticks that we stuck in the ground there. And eventually those 10 seeds that were sown began to produce the ugliest, deformed-looking, the most delicious tomatoes I've ever put in my mouth. I don't know what the deal is with tomatoes and the ugliness ratio, but it's like the ugliness ratio goes up and the flavor goes up, right? But they were amazing, vine-ripened tomatoes in our backyard. But those plants, until the squirrels finally got them, those plants produced about 300 tomatoes. 10 seeds, 300 tomatoes. One of the things that you have to know about sowing is that usually the crop is disproportional to the sowing. And that works both ways, to the good seed and to the bad seed. That there's a disproportional harvest, that lots comes out of little. And so seeds are an investment in future fruit and more of it. So let me reiterate, sliding into our last point. No seed sown, no harvest. Seeds produce after their own kind. Seeds do not produce fruit immediately. It takes time. Seeds are an investment in future fruit and more fruit. And the last thing is that seed sowing is an intentional choice, not a feeling. An intentional choice, not a feeling. Paul says once again in Galatians 6:9, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good." Why is he saying this? Because they can get tired of doing what's good. "At just the right time," he says, "we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." If they give up, then they won't reap that harvest. It's a choice. Charles Stanley put it this way: "Your choices determine the kind of crop you're going to reap." Let me say that again. Would you read this with me, actually? "Your choices determine the kind of crop you're going to reap, the kind of life you're going to live, and the kind of judgment you will face." It's all about choices. A farmer does not wait until he feels like it to plant the seed that needs to be planted, does he? No, he's on a schedule because he knows he needs to plant at a certain point in time. I ran across this last week. Sowing is an investment. So the farmer is careful. He is equipped to sow and reap in accordance with the nature of his crop. He has the land. He has the right equipment, understands the calendar, knows the cultivation schedule, and knows the water and nutrients necessary for the crop to yield its intended result. If he is careless, if his stewardship falters, he stands to lose everything. He stands to lose everything. And so if a farmer only plants when he feels like it, is he going to get the crop he wants? No, he's not. This is counterintuitive to us. I think that most of us, we just think, well, Bob, can't I just like do it right? Can you give me like a little biblical axiom and I can just do it and get the result in the same day? It's like, that just isn't how it works. Not if you want to grow up into maturity. If you want to stay immature, you can continue to look for the quick fix. But there's no way to get all growed up in Christ without applying this. That we must sow the good seed over time, and it will produce the good harvest over time. And so, for me, this is what it looks like. I get up in the morning, I read the comics, put them to the side. I sit down with my Bible. And Becky and I have a chapter that we're going to read at the same, you know, not the same time, but the same chapter in that same day. And I open it up and I slow my RPMs down. And I'm fairly high octane, even early in the morning. And so I say, Lord, I want to put my heart in a good place to hear and a good place to be receptive to the seed that you're sowing in me. I lower my RPMs. And then I start reading, listening for the voice of the Spirit in the text of Scripture. And as I listen, I'll mark down, you know, the different verses that sort of leap out at me because I know that the Lord is speaking through those. And then what I'll do is I'll then write a prayer on those things in sort of a reflective prayer of, Lord, I think you're saying this to me, and this is where this challenges me in my life, and this is what makes me uncomfortable about that, and here's where I want to go, but gosh, I feel like I've failed so many times, but would you help me? Would you help me move forward with this? And then Becky and I will get together, and we're trying to, because she has a new job, we're trying to figure this out a little bit better with our schedule, but then we'll get together and we'll share each other's prayers. We'll pray those prayers that we wrote out to the Lord, and then that will be the launch pad for us to pray together. Now, one of the things I'm doing with that is I'm sowing seeds in my own spiritual life, listening to God. I'm sowing seeds of responsible spiritual leadership with my wife. And what comes out of that is a kind of spiritual intimacy and emotional intimacy and a connectivity for us as a couple that I wouldn't have if I didn't sow the good seed. Are you hearing me? And this is not rocket science, gentlemen. It's not hard. It's just a discipline to sit down and do this. I'm not in competition with Becky for who has the better insight. I'm only trying to hear God for what God is saying to me, and she's trying to hear God for what God is saying to her. Again, not competition, but partnership. And in doing that, we're able to walk together. Again, I'm sowing seeds, and those seeds continue to yield a product. We've been doing this for almost 2 years now. And we're so blessed by this. But if you want that harvest of intimacy, you've got to do practical things. If you want for people to be happy around you, you need to start sowing seeds of encouragement. Some of you are like, gosh, Bob, you don't understand. I'm in this negative work environment. It's crazy. People are so negative and wah, 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 wah. And they don't realize that when they're saying that everybody's so negative, they're so negative too. And sometimes what my encouragement is why don't you start sowing seeds of encouragement? Oh, that's so Pollyanna. Really? Yeah, really. Start sowing seeds. If you want a different harvest at work, then start sowing different seeds, right? That's how you're going to get a different crop. It's the only way that you're going to get a different crop. So let me see if I can summarize this in a little bit of a different way. So if we want the right kind of crop, we have to sow those seeds for that crop. If we don't sow the seeds, no harvest. Say that with me. No seeds, no harvest. So there's no way to get around that. Secondly, every seed that I sow is going to produce fruit that looks like the seed that I sowed. Every seed begets after its own kind. Every seed that I sow is going to take some time to produce the fruit. It's always going to take some time. And there's no getting around it. And It's a pity that we're not more agrarian, because we would get this a lot more easily, but because of it, we're not. We don't get it very easily. When I sow seeds, I'm making an investment in my future and in the future of others. When I sow those seeds in the lives of others, in my wife, in my children, for the kingdom of God in you, I'm sowing seeds that will bring a crop later. One of the difficult things about the pastoral ministry is that we all grade ourselves on how good the particular performance was that we were in for that one time. And I'm only as good as my last sermon. But the reality is that week after week, I try to sow the good seed into you. The frustrating thing about ministry is that people are always in the oven. They're never done. Really. And so the only thing that I've finished when I've finished a sermon is I've stopped talking, but I've started something by sowing a seed. And it's going to produce fruit over time. It's an investment for future fruit and for more of it. And lastly, the seeds that I sow and that you sow, well, you can just go by your gut and just do whatever feels natural to you. But usually that won't yield a particularly good crop. No, you decide, this is what I'm aiming at, and I'm going to start sowing those kinds of seeds. And I'm going to make the choice to sow those seeds even when I don't feel like it. Maybe especially when I don't feel like it. And I'm going to see the crop come because I'm faithful at doing that. These are the dynamics, at least some of the dynamics of sowing and reaping, how it works. The reason why I've said this to you this morning is very simple. I want to ask you to settle into this process. I want to ask you to consider significantly what the seeds are that are going to make your life, at the end of your life, the great harvest. I want to ask you to think of that and to then work backwards and say, then these are the seeds I'm going to need to sow to get there. At the end of my life, I don't want people, person after person, standing up and saying, Bob was really funny and bald. That's not enough. That's not a life of significance. That's not how God has programmed me. That's not enough. And you don't want that same kind of report either. Oh, that person was just really kind. No, you want to live a life of impact. You want to live a life of significance. That's what God has designed you for. And so that's the first side, is settle into this process, start sowing the good seed, and keep sowing the good seed. Secondly, though, some of you are going to need to make some serious course corrections, because you know, now that you've heard me talking about this morning, you know that you've been sowing bad seed and you've got to stop it. Some of you, it's with your words. Others, it's with your sexuality. Others of you, it's with your attitudes and the infection into others of it. There's all kinds of different things and ways that you're sowing that you need to stop doing that. And today's the time, now's the time to stop, right? Yeah, because you can't get out of this. You will reap what you've sown. I reap what I sow, you will reap what you've sown. Now sliding into home plate here. Let me come back to that idea. You were made to produce a harvest of fruit for God's kingdom that is much bigger than yourself. You were destined for it. This is not a self-help, I'll come to pump you up. This is the truth. Jesus in John 15, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Would you say these last four words with me? Fruit that will last. Again, fruit that will last. Jesus further before this says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. It's this fruitfulness. It's what God has designed you for. He wants you and I to live lives of beautiful fruitfulness. But we must start sowing the seeds for that fruit to come. If you're wondering why there is no harvest of anything going on in your life that's particularly significant at this point in time, I want to ask you to go back and say, what seeds have I sown or not sown? Because whatever you're getting right now is the fruit of what you've sown. And there's no getting around it. It's a sober reality. Does this make sense? All right, so I've said this a whole bunch of different ways. It's not rocket science, it's just the law of sowing and reaping. We're going to look at this from a number of different angles over the next number of weeks, and I believe that God's going to transform us in many ways doing this. And I want to invite you into this process with me. I'm examining my own life and looking at, gosh, there's some things here that I'm not, I want to be here, and I believe, Lord, you've made me to be here, and you've made us to plant these 10 churches, and as a church, we're trying to start sowing the seeds that are going to produce 10 churches. Do you see what I'm saying? All these things matter. It all works. It works the same in every area of life. And so I want to ask you to partner with me as a church, but as individuals. I want you sowing seed into my life just the way that I'm sowing seed into your life. I want you coming in here to sow seed into other people's lives on Sunday morning, ministering to them. Come ready to serve. When you do that, kingdom comes and people's lives are changed. And frankly, I've put all my eggs in that basket. Last thing. Some of you are here this morning and you think, you know what, I get that. I get what you're saying. But I don't know if I really get this Jesus thing. Here's the deal. There's a real God in heaven. And the fact that you're in this building means that you might suspect it at least. But there's a real God in heaven. And he sent his one and only son to earth, Jesus Christ. And Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven to earth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed people of incurable diseases. He met people where they were and he brought them to himself. And he continued to draw. He was a magnet. He drew people to himself. But he was killed on the cross. This cross that's behind me is a symbol of what happened to him. He was killed on the cross, and it was part of the plan of God that Jesus would die, and that by dying, he would take into himself the punishment that was all, for all the rest of us, that was meant for all the rest of us. He took it. He took it in himself. That, my friends, is love. That's love. But he didn't stay dead. That's the incredible thing about this. He didn't just die on a cross, but he rose on the third day like he said he would. Many witnesses on this whole thing. People have tried to disprove it, but many witnesses, and Jesus rose from the dead, and he's no longer dead. And so he's the one that's knocking on the door of your heart saying, will you let me in? I want you to know me. I want you to know love. I want you to follow me. I want you to come with me. Come with me into eternal life. Come with me into a life of true significance. Might not be of worldly riches, but of true riches, true significance. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you open up to him? Will you open up to him? It's not a difficult thing. It's not, again, rocket science. He's knocking. He's knocking. And some of you feel your heart going thunk-a-thunk right now. Is that me? Well, maybe it is you. It certainly isn't the eloquence of what I'm saying. No. It's the God of the universe reaching out to you. Will you open up your heart to him? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for being here. I thank you for letting your spirit move in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for awakening us in heart to this idea of sowing and reaping. But Jesus, to sow the seeds of true significance, to sow the seeds of the kingdom of God, we have to know you. And if we don't know you, then it's really all for naught. I want to ask you now, Lord, that you would reach out, that you would not be knocking on the door of each person's heart that is really walking away from you or walking outside of you or never has opened the door. And for those of you that are in that place, it's very simple. All I'm asking you to do is to open up, open the door, and say, Lord Jesus, would you come in? Would you forgive all of my sin? Would you come in? Would you forgive all of my sin? I receive you now. I believe you. If we could just say that out loud, all of us, Lord Jesus, I open the door of my life. I open the door of my life to you. Please come in. Come and fill me. I receive you. I confess my sins to you, Lord. Please forgive me. I put my trust in you.